Joker. This is Movie Fighters, the show where Chris Sims and I, Matt Wilson, we watch movies and we beat them up. This is the second installment of Spooktoberfest 2015. 2 weeks ago, we watched Vampirella with Roger Daltrey.
Are you trying to make it sound spooky? That, yeah. Roger Daltrey was in that movie?
Yeah. It was okay. Scary in fair, its way.
Fair.
And this week, we are watching a movie that I completely stumbled upon. Now, we got a lot of suggestions from listeners and guests. Some of those movies sounded great. One movie that got suggested to us is a movie called Housebound, which I actually ended up watching last night and that I deemed too good to watch on Movie Fighters because it's pretty good. But I was doing a deep dive into the movies that are available on Amazon Prime, all the horror movies. And once you get to like page 30 of the horror movies available on Amazon Prime, you start finding some weird shit. I found this movie. It is called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
There is not a movie title that might as well be, "Hey, Chris and Matt, here you go. Here's what you're doing on Sunday."
This movie actually came out last year in 2014. It appears to be, based on the movie poster that is up on IMDb, it appears that it may have been a Kickstarter film. There's a website prominently listed on the poster. The filmmaker, Cody Knotts, has his name above the title. And there is some low-quality Photoshopping going on here.
The poster that is on IMDb is infinitely worse than the poster that is actually on Amazon. Like, if you see the poster that's on Amazon, where you can, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can watch this along with us, everybody. It looks bad, but it looks like a movie poster.
It, yeah.
The one that's on IMDb looks basically like garbage.
It looks really bad. The one on Amazon does a cool thing where the word pro wrestlers, despite it being hyphenated when it shouldn't be, is in the WrestleMania font, which looks okay. Like, the logo looks okay.
Yeah, they've got a one of the belt templates from WWE 2K14 on
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And there's some decent-looking photos of the very various wrestlers who are in this movie. I feel like now is the time that we should list them off.
Okay, I am ready. I am excited.
The star of the film, as he should be, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
The late, the great, the icon, the wonderful Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yes.
Very excited to see him again, making his surprisingly only second Movie Fighters appearance.
I was talking to my wife, Marlene, about how we were going to be watching this movie. And she was like, if you're going to watch a Roddy Piper movie, why don't you watch They Live, which is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah,
and I was like,
well, is the problem.
Yeah, because we would just come back from the movie and be like, wow, what a good movie. And that would be it, because They Live is one of the greats. Here are some other wrestlers that are in the movie. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Interesting choice. I have never seen him in an acting role before, but I am looking forward to it.
I wonder if Roddy Piper and Jim Duggan are on this movie together because of the friendship and bond that they got while on Legends House together.
Oh, I forgot about Legends House. Could be.
It's one of the main through lines of Legends House is that Piper and Duggan become good friends. Kurt Angle is in this movie.
Your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle. Olympic gold medalist, Atlanta 96. Kurt Angle.
Shane the Franchise Douglas is in this
That's
movie.
Right, everybody. The Franchise.
And
the French Fries is here.
Yes.
Shane Douglas, the man who threw the NWA World Heavyweight Championship on the ground and sparked the countercultural revolution that was ECW.
Rebby Sky
Ruby Sky, who I believe is the girlfriend of another one of our stars.
She's apparently married to Matt Hardy.
Okay, Mrs. Matt Hardy. Got it.
Yes, who is the other wrestler playing himself in this movie.
Yes, Matt Hardy, stronger than death.
That's right.
Which, I hope he wears that t-shirt throughout the movie.
He could slam a tornado. He could drive a casino. That's what I always think his theme music is saying. His WWE theme music. By the way, Barlene just sent me a G-Chat message that said, "Yes, I know, it is good." Speaking about They Live, that wasn't my point about you watching They Live. I think she actually wanted us to watch a good movie.
Yeah, look. Maybe that can be a new Patreon tier. Like, if we get a certain amount of money, we'll start watching good movies.
Perhaps. And I guess while we're talking about that, I should quickly mention that this is actually the first episode of the new season of Movie Fighters.
Season 3.
Yes, Season 3, starting up right now. All the episodes from Season 2 have been completed. So, we have moved over to Patreon. And one of the things that we're thinking about doing on Patreon is doing something that we did back during the Bandcamp days, when we would watch a cartoon and make that a bonus episode with an album. We're thinking about doing bonus episodes where we watch cartoons again and making them Patreon exclusive. If that sounds like something cool to you, let us know. Or if you would like us to watch good movies and talk about movies we love as special, like, quarterly episodes or something like that, tell us, and we will try to make that happen. We will try to add a reward to Patreon that people really want. The cartoons thing, I feel like, since we've done it before, is something we could really easily jump into doing. But hey, watching movies we love and talking about them instead of movies we at best don't know about might be an option. Speaking of movies we don't know about, I don't know a thing about Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies aside from...
I feel like what there is to know about this movie is in the title.
Yeah. Now, I should note that when we were talking to Benito Cereno on War Rocket Ajax this week, I made sure to note that this is not... Like, zombie movies are not something I try to watch anymore. I kind of shy away from them now. There's, for one thing, there are too many of them, right? And I've seen a lot of them. It's sort of a diminishing return thing with zombie movies. Like, after you've seen Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Return of the Living Dead, and maybe some Italian zombie movies, you kind of seen them all, and you've seen the best of the best.
Yeah, it has to have a hook.
Yeah. For better or worse, Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies does have that hook.
You expect this to be as good as Shaun of the Dead. You expect this to be as good as a 28 Days Later, but on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, those are a couple of the additional...
Or on the road to Bound for Glory, from the looks of things.
Yeah, this is one of the zombie movies, or those two movies that you just mentioned, are among the other zombie movies that, like, I kind of went out of my way to watch, but I haven't done it in some time. I have no expectations of this movie being good, but I'm certainly expecting it to be, like, weirdly awful, or like, kind of beautifully awful. I will say that according to Wikipedia, Bleacher Report gave this film a positive review.
Really?
But noted that the movie would appeal most to wrestling fans.
Oh, you don't say. Now, we should say that this movie has a 2-star rating on Amazon. IMDb gives it a 3.8 out of 10. 59% of the ratings on Amazon are 1-star.
Yeah, and that's bad news, because Amazon ratings are kind of weighted toward the positive, right? Like, almost everything on Amazon, because their people are going out of their way to watch it or buy it, they're going to rate it pretty well. So the fact that this is 2 stars on Amazon, not a great sign.
I don't know if there's anything, like, I don't know if there's any information we can give you other than just the name of the movie is Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies, and it has a bunch of pro wrestlers playing themselves. So Maybe it's time to just dive on in, Matt.
Yeah, let's get to the movie in just a minute. But before we do that, we have to do the blockbuster segment.
Talking about the hottest new segment on Movie Fighters?
I don't know that we can call it new anymore because we've been doing it for like 5 months.
But it's newer than the show.
That's true. It is a blockbuster segment that we do every episode of Movie Fighters now. It's called Snack Situation. And Chris, I would like to know what you are snacking on for Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Well, Matt, I wanted to have something seasonally appropriate. I was at the store earlier. I thought about buying a little fun-sized bag of candy, but I don't want to be like unwrapping candy bars all through the movie. So what I did was last night I went over to Trader Joe's, and I have a bag of Trader Joe's peanut butter-filled pretzels, which there was a sign on the shelf that said they were great flavors together. And I was like, yeah, Trader Joe, I know that peanut butter and pretzels go well together. Thank you.
Now, these are not the chocolate-covered ones like I had last time. These are just straight-up
peanut butter-filled pretzels.
All right. I still have my bag of chocolate-covered peanut butter-filled pretzels next to the desk, but I'm not going to be munching on those during the movie. I am actually doing what you avoided. I have a bowl of fun-sized candies sitting right here next to me. I've got some Hershey bars. I've got some Starbursts. I've got some Reese's Cups.
There we go.
I've got some Kit Kats.
Mm-hmm.
And a few Almond Joys here.
Ah, you're prepared.
Yeah. I got a bag of everything but the Starbursts all together. And then I just got some Starbursts because I love Starbursts. So that's what we got in our snack situation. I hope it helps us get through what could be a harrowing experience. We are about to hit play on Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies. If you are an Amazon Prime member, you can go on Amazon Prime and watch along with us. Otherwise, you're going to hear a quick musical interlude, and we're going to come back and talk about the movie. And we are back from watching Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies, and I'm going to tell you straight up, this is not the worst movie we have watched for Movie Fighters.
Yeah, I think, also, before we go any further, make sure you take everything we're about to say with a grain of salt, because we do have to be careful. This is the only movie that we've ever watched where literally everyone involved could beat us up.
Yeah, even Cody Knotts, and the... I guess we could call her the lead actress, who is not a wrestler, but does display quite an affinity for fake fighting throughout the movie.
She does some good work, brother.
Adrienne Fisher, I believe.
Yes.
Her character is named Sarah. Never really defined what her role is, like who she is supposed to be. She's
brought in as a marketing expert, I think, and then like 20 minutes later she has a machete and she's telling everybody it's time to go kill zombies.
Yes. So let's just jump into the meat of the movie before I do anything. This is a trauma release.
Yes, the first credits that come up, Lloyd Kaufman, and it is a trauma team release, which, is that a first? We have to have done another one.
I don't think we've done another trauma film, but we didn't go into this thinking that it was a trauma film.
And, no, we didn't.
And I don't know if I think this must be something where trauma, like, picked it up after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's distributed by trauma. It is not a trauma production.
Yeah. It's not, it wasn't like, because this movie was definitely kickstarted. I went and looked it up. There was a Kickstarter to help fund it. Mm-hmm. So the trauma came in at the end, I guess. There's no like Lloyd Kaufman showing up in the movie or anything like that. But it is a trauma release. Before we started watching, we were talking about how Rowdy Roddy Piper is the star of the movie. And ostensibly he is. But
kind of, yeah.
The character that actually drives the plot of the movie is Shane Douglas.
This movie was written, directed, produced by Cody Knotts.
Yeah.
Who was, I believe, one of the people who was doing a promotion with Shane Douglas at the time. Extreme Rising, which features pretty heavily in the movie.
At the beginning of the movie, we get a lot of footage over the opening credits of what I guess is an Extreme Rising show. Like, we're seeing actual wrestling matches at what appears to be a real show. One of the wrestlers involved in those opening matches is none other than former WCW booker Kevin Sullivan.
Yes, Kevin Sullivan, who really, really, his gimmick for years was that he was a devil worshiper. He should have been a bigger part of this movie.
He appears for like a total of 10 seconds of screen time.
He appears so briefly that you said, "Hey, is that Kevin Sullivan?" And I said, "I did not see."
Intercut with the wrestling at the beginning of the movie, there's an epigraph that opens the movie. Chris, do you want to recite that epigraph?
Yes. It's, "The ring is the only place where you can kill a man and get away with it." A quote attributed to Shane Douglas, the French Fries. And at the same time, at the exact same time, you and I both said, "I don't think that's true."
For two reasons. One, I'm fairly sure there are other places where you can kill someone and get away with it. Like, in war, right?
Right.
Two, or international waters. Two, you cannot get away with killing somebody in the ring.
No, you definitely can't. You definitely cannot. There is at least a lot of people paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Rey Mysterio didn't even kill a Guy Opero Jr., but got a lot of shit for it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, poor guy.
Poor guy, terrible tragedy. Rey Mysterio has taken so much shit over that accident. But, yes. Like, okay. So, we cut to the back. We have Shane Douglas, the French Fries, back there. And how many times does he call himself the franchise in this movie?
He says franchise so many times that the word loses meaning.
It does.
He insists that his, like, 10-year-old nephew refer to him as the franchise. He tells a promoter, "You just bought yourself a franchise." He, like, refers to, like, he insists that zombies refer to him as the franchise. It is ridiculous.
It's so many. But he is in the back. And back there, he sees another wrestler.
Battling Billy, which is a terror. That is the name that non-wrestlers would come up with as a pro wrestler's name. And everyone involved in this movie is a pro wrestler.
Yes. He is sitting on a bench in the locker room, making out with, and this is how she is referred to in the movie, Penthouse pet Taya Parker.
Yes.
Now, Taya Parker has her back to Shane Douglas, who is watching this, and Battlin' Billy is looking at Shane Douglas, like, giving him the, like, "Yeah, I'm making time with your girl" kind of face. Like, he is,
yes.
He is looking at Shane Douglas with intention, as if to say, "Fuck you, I am making out with your girlfriend right now." Turns out they have a match at this show. So Shane Douglas and Battlin' Billy go out and have their match. The finish of the match is that Shane Douglas does a tombstone pile driver on him. And according to Shane Douglas, he botches the move. But in fact, he is on purpose murdering Battlin' Billy in the ring. He breaks Battlin' Billy's neck. A doctor who does not look like a doctor in any way comes out, checks out Battlin' Billy's eyes. And they, like, wheel him off on a stretcher. We see the promoter, who is actually played by the director of the movie, Cody Knotts, who I observed looked like a poor man's Guillermo del Toro, which is exactly what he looks like.
That is, in fact, exactly what he looks like.
Without the glasses. He, like, gets in the ring, and then we see this guy with a goatee and red hair just standing around in the crowd looking kind of angry. That's Battlin' Billy's brother. And his reaction to his brother dying is to just stand around and look kind of angry. He immediately goes to the promoter for the wrestling organization, and he says, I'm going to pay you all this money. He hands the promoter, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 packets of bills, and it does not look like that much money. Like a few $100.
It is very clearly a $100 bill on top of a bunch of 20s and maybe 1s.
Yeah.
Like, the second bill down is a 20.
Yeah, it's a few $100 at most. And he hands him this money and he goes, I want to pay you this much money to have a private event at West Virginia State Penitentiary. I only need 2 people to be there. I only need 2 of your talents to be there. I need Shane Douglas, and I need the franchise, and Penthouse Pet Taya Parker. And the promoter, who is the worst businessman, instead of just taking that money and saying, like, okay, just take 2 of my people and have your show, he starts offering up more people. He says, oh, well, for this kind of money, I can give you Roddy Piper and Jim Duggan and a bunch of other wrestlers. I think this money will even pay for the Olympic champion, Kurt Angle. And it's like,
yeah.
You already got, he mentions Matt Hardy too. And he's like, it's like, you already got your money for your 2 people. Why are you giving him more?
On my page of notes that I kept as this movie was on, one of the few things that I wrote down that was not just a quote from this movie was, a promoter offering more than he was paid for is less believable than zombies.
Yes. He's the worst wrestling promoter I've ever seen. No wonder, what is it, Extreme Rising went under like a few months after this movie was released.
Between the filming of this movie and the release of this movie,
Extreme Rising was no longer an operating business. After that scene, we have a scene, a couple different scenes. One is of a nurse standing outside a hospital. And I don't know why this nurse is the person that gets chosen for this. There's no explanation of this at all. But this nurse is standing outside a hospital. She's looking into a compact, doing her makeup. And the compact breaks. And this, like, weird black smoke starts coming out of it. It's a really shitty special effect. And it looks like they couldn't even afford to actually break a compact. It looks like some kind of, like, image taken from the internet of a broken compact.
Everything in this movie feels like it was a Kickstarter backer reward. Like, hey, for $30, you can be a nurse who gets turned into a zombie. Hey, for $30, you can be Shane Douglas's 10-year-old nephew.
For $30, you can be the soundtrack of the movie. Right?
That one, like, I had the Kickstarter page open a second ago, and I feel like that was probably a backer reward.
Since we brought it up, let's talk about the music in this movie. It is
it's really bad.
It's shoehorned in. Like, it's like they had to get in these 10 songs and play a certain amount of them in the movie contractually. Because the music cues are terrible. The music doesn't match the scenes that they're in. There's weird lyrics in the songs about, like, these colors don't run and you gotta fight for your country. It's like weird neocon music. At times it verges into being Christian rock. Like, it almost starts getting into, like, church territory in this movie full of zombies and cursing and, like, guys ripping nurses' blouses open. And it's just so bad. And, like, the music is always too loud. Like, it's a little too loud for the scene that it's in, to the point where you, like, kind of can't hear the dialogue because the music is too high up in the mix.
Yes, yes. Now, Matt, I do have the Kickstarter page open. I do want to say, $500 or more, you got a day as a background zombie in the film. Travel not included.
Okay.
No takers on that one. No okay. Backers at that level. $750 or more, part as a featured zombie. with your face on camera, you know, travel not included. Plus, you got previous rewards, like you could actually have a Skype call with the franchise Shane Douglas to hear your suggestions on what they should do in the movie. one backer took that one.
I wonder what their suggestion was. I hope it was that moment where Roddy Piper hit a zombie with a coconut.
Surely that was a fan suggestion. There was also a $1,500 tier where you could be a featured zombie and a guarantee to be killed on screen and spend a day on the set with the cast. No takers on that one either.
Too bad. No rewards regarding the soundtrack?
None regarding the soundtrack. Amazingly. Amazingly.
So they must have just been like personal friends of Shane Douglas or Cody Knotts, I guess.
Had to be.
Okay. So this nurse is standing outside the hospital. It turns out she's like getting pranked by her boyfriend. But then once she is done being pranked by her boyfriend and he disappears, this weird looking Irish guy who was Battle and Billy's brother shows up, grabs the nurse, takes her to a house, rips open her blouse, and she's wearing like old timey nurse uniform. She's not wearing scrubs, right? She's not wearing.
Yeah, she is wearing a white dress and stockings.
Yes. He rips open her blouse. He stabs her in the chest, takes out her still beating heart.
Oh, no, that is not what happens, Matt. He rips open her blouse and then, like, gropes her for what feels like 10 minutes, and it's probably two.
I was trying to kind of gloss over that, but yes, there's
that was...
There's a gross sexual assault, like, really quickly into the movie. Which...
Yeah, like, really, like, right up front, really terrible.
I mean, I know he's supposed to be the bad guy. Like, he's supposed to be evil. But I could have totally lived without that, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So he rips out her still beating heart, takes a bite out of it, and there's like candles lit all around. Somehow that summons the spirit of Battle and Billy and turns her immediately into a zombie. There's no like process of her dying and coming back as a zombie. She is immediately like desiccated and decayed and like sits up and is now a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
She's like his number one zombie. She does a lot of the work in this movie. So she's there. Meanwhile, Shane Douglas is going to meet the promoter about this West Virginia trip. And he's telling the promoter, like, look, I'll come to this show, but you gotta pay me. I'm not gonna have your check bounce like Paul Heyman's check bounced and like Vince McMahon's check bounced. And that's like the one reference to WWE in the whole movie, like overt. And there's definitely not a situation in which Vince McMahon's checks ever bounced, right?
I feel like there's not. Like he says Paul Heyman, Vince McMahon, and Jim Crockett all bounce checks. And I know one of those is true.
Yeah, I don't think Jim Crockett or Vince McMahon would have bounced checks. Especially not when Shane Douglas was in WWF and was like that teacher character that he played.
Dean Douglas,
yeah. It seems like that is just a weird like aspersion to cast in that scene.
Yes. Also, but Shane Douglas was in WCW in like 1999 when like checks bouncing was not the problem.
Yeah. And Jim Crockett wasn't even there. Like, it wasn't Jim Crockett Promotions anymore. Anyway, that scene is all just, like, for the promoter to be like, hey, you'll get paid. You will get paid.
That scene goes on forever and has, like, it is a terribly improv'd scene.
There's one
great... Shane Douglas is trying to set up a line where he's like, if there's not money in this palm, then this palm's going to be around your neck. Which is not, like, you would just say hand. You would say hand in that situation. And also, those two halves of that line are interrupted by the promoter going, you're going to get paid in cash. In cash, you're going to get paid.
Yeah. And there's also a moment at the end of the scene where Shane Douglas, like, extends his finger and puts it in the promoter's face to say, like, one more fuck up and I'm out of here, right? And the Cody Knotts thinks that he's going in for a handshake and like puts his hand up to shake his hand. There are so many flubs that made it into this movie. We didn't even talk about the end of Shane Douglas's first match, where he does the pile driver and he covers Battle and Billy, and he says count it, but only after he says cover him.
Yeah, you're the one covering him, Shane. If I would have paid like my $100 on Kickstarter, my suggestion over Skype would have been do a second take sometimes.
Yeah, one take Shane Douglas. Because there's another scene that's at Shane Douglas's family's house. Okay? This is the scene where he's like with his nephew, and he's telling his 10-year-old nephew, don't call me Uncle Shane, call me the franchise. Hey, keep it kayfabe, 10-year-old nephew. You're exposing the business by calling me Uncle Shane. And there's just this conversation between Shane Douglas's mother and Shane Douglas where she goes, you know, I don't know why you're going back to this wrestling. First of all, what on earth did Shane Douglas do in between? Like, what on earth did Shane Douglas do that wasn't wrestling?
Yeah, Shane Douglas has been a wrestler since 1982, which is as long as I have been alive.
Yeah, second, Shane Douglas has been wrestling for 30 years. He's, what, 50?
Yeah, he was born in 64, so yeah, he's
51. He's, in this movie, he's 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at what point do you just like, Mom, this is what I do. I don't have any other skills. You can't, we can't be still having this argument. Right?
Yes.
So Shane Douglas walks out of the house with his nephew, and his nephew wants to come to the show at the prison. And he tells his nephew, you can't come to this one with me, but I'll tell you what, man, you just like hang tight here, be good for your mom and dad, and you can come to my next match. And the nephew's like, yeah, yeah, thanks, franchise, I can't wait. And he runs back in the house. Shane Douglas leaves. And the nurse zombie shows up and attacks Shane Douglas's whole family. There's also a scene in here somewhere where the nurse zombie attacks a bunch of wrestlers too and makes them into zombies. So there's like an army of zombies that has been created.
Yeah, because these are, I guess, the plot in this movie is way too complicated because there's an abandoned prison involved. There's a fake private wrestling show with no audience involved. Like, I don't know why this isn't, like, why it has to be at the abandoned prison, which admittedly is a really cool building and a really cool set. But, like, why wouldn't it just be at an arena? Like, why wouldn't it just be at the VFW hall?
Because an abandoned prison is a setting for zombies. An abandoned prison was a setting in The Walking Dead. So they had to have it there. That's the only reason I can think of.
I guess.
Okay, there's one more setup scene where this lady, Sarah, who I guess is a marketer, shows up and talks to the promoter. And this is also where we're introduced to this character who's like this weaselly guy with long hair and a mustache. I kept saying he looked like Jeremy Davies, but it's like his character is Jimmy Hart. He's got this high-pitched voice. He's kind of like a heel manager type of guy. He wears, like, velvet suits. And he's just a, you know, like a chicken shit manager kind of guy. His role is also very ill-defined. He's just there to be, like, a cowardly guy in the prison during those scenes. But she shows up and she goes, like, hey, I'm here to do my new job. What do you have for me to do? And the promoter goes, well, I can't go to the prison, so I want you to go there for me and manage everything. And she goes, okay.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of stuff where, like, they're, like, kind of, like, hitting on her. But she's, like, you know, like, no-selling it, which is kind of great.
Yeah, if there's one thing that the movie gets really right, it's the outright super gross skeeviness of the wrestling industry. Because everybody is super skeevy to all the women. All the time. Okay, so we cut ahead to her being on the bus with everybody who is on the bus trip going to the prison. So that's Roddy Piper, who is showing up for the first time. There's a scene with Roddy Piper and her sitting next to each other, and he's just kind of like shooting the shit with her, talking about, like, you know, what it's like to be a pro wrestler, what it's like living on the road, and how they're going to this weird prison and this weird thing, but she doesn't need to worry. He's going to take care of her. And he is just the most charming motherfucker on earth.
Roddy Piper is great in this movie, as he is in everything he does.
Yeah.
Like, he's charming. He's, like, believable. Like, there's a scene later on where he brings the pathos so hard. It is great.
And it's a scene with trifling-ass, cheating-ass Jim Duggan, of all people.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Piper and Sarah are on the bus. Matt Hardy and his wife, Rebby Sky, are on the bus. They are making out hardcore. Shane Douglas and penthouse pet Taya Parker are on the bus making out hardcore. And then there's this weird bus driver who has apparently been hired by the Zombie Master to give a speech once they arrive at the prison.
You talking about Tez Jaguar?
Tez Jaguar. Yes, he has a name tag that says Tez Jaguar on it. Which is easily the most interesting thing about that character.
Yes, now you think by far.
You would think they would just go to the prison, but in between, we have to have a scene where everybody stops at a pizza place to have lunch.
Shane Douglas and penthouse playmate Taya Parker have a conversation about how they used to be together before Shane Douglas killed Billy. But Taya Parker, I guess, is trying to get back together with him. And also, she's really insulting Sarah. Like, Roddy Piper does not approve of that.
No, there's a part where Sarah's saying something about how, like, Shane Douglas is a piece of shit. And also about how Taya Parker is, I don't know, like a fake penthouse pet lady or something. So Taya Parker picks up her glass of water and throws it on Sarah. And there's no sound effect for that. It's just complete silence as she's having water thrown on her.
Almost everything is 80 yard.
Yeah. So Sarah runs off to the bathroom, and Roddy Piper gets up and starts kind of just like looking out the window, and he's just got this like, he's like biting his lip. He's just so fucking mad.
He's seething.
And he just looks over at Taya Parker and he goes, "You gotta fucking get it together. I'm not gonna fucking stand for this shit, okay? You treated her terribly. You're both fucking being terrible. And frankly, Taya, I like my women real." And then he like storms out of the place. And he just like, he kind of heels off on Taya Parker. God damn. Roddy Piper is so good throughout the movie. So that's basically the extent of the scene in the pizza place. They get to the prison. Tez Jaguar gets out of his driver's seat and he pulls out this bag and he tells everybody on the bus to give up their cell phones.
He gives them a little speech, like a little hype up speech where it's like, "Tonight for once, the outcome won't be predetermined. You have the chance to battle gods." And if I'm Roddy Piper, I'm going to be like, "Yeah, hey brother, we're pro wrestlers." Save it for the marks. Save it for the gimmick table, brother.
Then he tells everybody to give up their cell phones. And like fucking Shane Douglas and Matt Hardy are just like pulling their cell phones out and putting it in the bag.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, great. Yeah. Look, I know the drill. I've been to shows before. They make us give up our cell phones, right?" And he comes over to Roddy Piper and Piper just goes, "I don't have a phone." Tez Jaguar like leans over a little more and he goes, I need your phone." Roddy Piper stands up, gets right in Tez Jaguar's ear, and he goes, "I don't have a phone. And if I did, I wouldn't give it to you." And he walks off the bus. Amazing. They get inside the prison. They go in the room that has the ring set up, which there's...
And who's there?
There's nothing there. There's no, like, seats or anything set up. There's nothing there to indicate that there will be an audience.
Right.
But Jim Duggan is just sitting in the corner of the room, not wearing a shirt, holding his 2x4. And he's like, hey, guys!
Holding his 2x4, which is already covered in blood. It's already gimmicked. It's already covered in blood. The implication that we got is that Jim Duggan lives in a haunted prison.
He lives in this prison.
He was not on the bus. We do not see him arriving. He is just sitting there waiting for everybody to show up. Maybe Jim Duggan set up the ring. I don't know.
Maybe he did. I don't think he was even on the bill for this event, though. Like, I don't remember if Cody Knotts says that he'll get Jim Duggan for the evil zombie leader guy or not.
I think he does. I think he mentions everybody. And then we get to the scene on the bus, and it's like very clearly only half of those people are present.
Yeah. Even if he does, I feel like Jim Duggan wasn't even on the bill for this show. He just happened to be there.
Yeah. He just woke up in his haunted prison that he lives in. I watched that. Where's that show on the network? Jim Duggan's haunted prison.
I'd watch it. So they're there for a little while. They're getting set up. There's a little more of the, like, you know, quote-unquote character stuff. Like, Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky go have sex in the chapel of the prison.
Which is hilarious. Which is, like they are in the chapel, which has a giant sign that says chapel, on the wall.
In a weird-ass font. In a super weird-ass font.
Like, it's like a kind of gothic font, but it's also the font that you would see on a sign for a steakhouse from the 70s. And they start making out, and Matt Hardy starts like, look, there was a script for this movie, and there were script editors for this movie, but I am 90% sure that most of this movie was improv'd. It had to have been. And so Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky start making out, and he's like, I'm going to show you the love of Christ. Because they're about to fuck in a church. Do you get it?
Yeah. So they're about to have sex in the chapel. Meanwhile, everybody else who is out by the ring starts getting attacked by zombies. And they start noticing this area where there was a band set up. Because apparently the zombie leader guy hired a band to play for the show. But they immediately get attacked by zombies and turned into zombies. So they see, like, the blood on the floor, and they see the blood, the fake blood in this movie, all looks like strawberry jam, by the way. It does not even look the slightest bit realistic. It honestly looks like they just took strawberry jam and used it as fake blood. But they notice the blood on the walls. They notice, like, that people have apparently been harmed on this band stage setup. And just as that's happening, zombies start attacking, and, you know, Duggan and Piper and Sarah and the penthouse pet, all those characters have to start fending off the zombies from somewhere in the ring, and then there's some other wrestlers and Sarah and the penthouse pet. They're all, like, on the edge, and the zombies are leaving them alone. The zombies are only attacking the people in the ring.
There's, like, three other wrestlers that aren't that are younger guys that I don't think are billed under their ring names. I think they're, you know, actually supposed to be playing characters. But they're very, you know, clearly wrestlers who already look like that. So I don't know what the point of that was. But in the scene where they're setting up the thing with the promoter, he basically just goes, yeah, and I got some other young guys that I want to get out there. So they're, like, just kind of huddled in a corner, not getting attacked at all. But Matt, does this happen before or after Kurt Angle shows up?
Kurt Angle shows up in the middle of this.
Okay. Because the scene where Kurt Angle shows up might be the single best part of the movie.
It's great. It's like, Kurt Angle, I don't think Kurt Angle has, what, two lines? He doesn't say much. But
he does not.
He makes his presence felt in the movie.
We actually, unlike Jim Duggan, who lives in the haunted prison, we see Kurt Angle arriving, and we see him arriving with his, I guess, bodyguard?
He has two. There's one who walks in front of him, and there's one who was walking behind him. So they the one who is in front of him, they walk in together. The door closes behind him and immediately locks. So Kurt Angle can't get out, and the other bodyguard can't get in. The other bodyguard is just outside, just stuck outside. So it's Kurt Angle and his one bodyguard inside the entryway to the prison.
Right, so the bodyguard gets attacked by zombies and immediately taken out, and Kurt Angle's like, what's going on? And Kurt Angle starts fighting zombies, and first thing he does is try to snap one's neck. This is before he knows they're zombies.
Yes.
This is when Kurt Angle just thinks he's being attacked by people. He immediately goes for a killing move.
Yes, and we know that he doesn't know that they're zombies yet, because later in the scene, he puts the ankle lock on one of the zombies.
He tries to tap out a zombie, and it's great.
It's amazing.
Great.
Does he do a suplex on a zombie?
No, he does a power bomb.
He does a power bomb.
Bombs one zombie. Right. Then he tries to put one in the ankle lock and wrenches it so hard that the dude's leg comes off. Best effect in the movie. Best gag in the movie.
And amazing. once the guy's leg comes off or his foot comes off, Kurt Angle's like, "What the fuck's going on here?" Like that's when he's like, "Something is weird," right?
Yeah, because you know Kurt Angle can't walk into an abandoned prison without getting attacked by five normal people.
There's also a Kurt Angle line as he's continuing to fight the zombies where he says, "Pittsburghers know how to fight zombies." And it took me a minute, but I finally figured out that that was a George Romero joke.
Yes.
So that was like such a weird deep cut joke. And I don't even know if Kurt Angle himself got it, but he certainly delivered the line. We don't see him actually get turned into a zombie, but he gets like overrun by zombies and turned into a zombie because he ends up going into the ring as a zombie and fighting Shane Douglas there and Roddy Piper, who are both in the ring fighting off the other zombies. There's a little more of the fight in the ring among the zombies. Also, zombie Kurt Angle doesn't show up again in the movie. He was there
He shows up very briefly.
He was there for like his 2 days, and he was out.
Oh, not even 2 days. He was there to film that scene, then go get some zombie makeup put on, and then go do a scene with the rest of the cast, and then he's out. We don't even see him die, which is
That's
weird.
What I said. Like he just gets overrun by zombies, and then immediately he comes back as a zombie.
Well, we don't see him die and get turned into a zombie, and we don't see him die as a zombie. We don't see him.
Oh right,
like,
yeah.
You would think Kurt Angle zombie would be a there would be a big moment where he would get Jim Duggan's 2x4 to the face or whatever. But no, that doesn't happen.
Maybe Kurt Angle was like, "No way, zombie Kurt Angle doesn't job to Jim Duggan."
I mean, look, I'm not saying Kurt Angle would have had a point, but I can see where he'd be coming from if he did indeed say that.
Eventually, all the main characters of the movie end up regrouping, and Roddy Piper comes up with the plan that they're going to form a wedge and wedge their way through the zombies. So they do a little moment where they like get in a circle and they put their hands all together and they go, on three, one, two, three, break! And then they get into a wedge pattern, and they go through the zombies. Unfortunately, one of the young guys, the flippy guy, gets left behind. And it looked like he was going to go down at that moment. But then he ends up like beating the zombies with some flippy moves, and he runs off in another direction.
He does a somersault plancha on the zombies.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
It's pretty good.
I mean, I will say, the one thing this movie really delivers on, and the one thing that we've always had a problem with the movies that star pro wrestlers, is that movies that star pro wrestlers, I guess they want to distance themselves from pro wrestling for some reason, but they never have the wrestlers doing wrestling moves, right? Like you never see, the Marine does not involve John Cena doing an attitude adjustment on the bad guy for whatever reason. This movie, Kurt Angle puts a zombie in the ankle lock and rips its leg off. And later, there's an amazing gag where one of the younger wrestlers picks up a zombie into a gorilla press, a military press, and then the zombie splits down the middle and its guts, like, fall on the guy's head. It's, like, a really great gross-out wrestling move gag.
Yes. This movie certainly delivers on that, for sure.
Yeah. Like, zombies get killed by sleeper holds later, which I do not get at all.
The entire group, except for that one flippy guy, goes into the chapel and starts barricading the door. as they're picking up stuff to barricade the door with, they see Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky barely getting into having sex. They've definitely
Matt
been...
Matt Hardy has his pants unzipped, but on.
She's still pretty much fully clothed. Like, I mean, I guess it's because Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky were like, yeah, we'll do a kind of a sex scene, but we won't do nudity. So they're like 20 minutes into foreplay, still clothed, still just making out.
Says a lot about Matt Hardy.
Hey, hey, maybe they're into tantric shit, right?
I'm gonna take my time.
So Roddy Piper gives Matt Hardy a little bit of like a talking to about how he needs to get fucking serious. Or Rebby Sky.
Which is great. Roddy Piper acting like this is 100% real. Roddy Piper's like, hey, she's going to die if you don't get your shit together, Matt.
And like, you know what Matt Hardy does? Matt Hardy, at first, he's like, no, nah, man, I'm going to protect her. And then Roddy Piper again says, like, she is going to die unless you do something right now. And Matt Hardy's like, okay, yes, sir. Like...
which is great.
So they're in that room. It's barricaded up.
Piper is intense, man. Piper is really intense in this movie.
Super intense. So they're in that room. They're getting ready. The zombies are about to break through.
Piper takes Shane Douglas aside and goes, I need you to shoot with me here. What happened? Like, why? Like, everybody immediately knows that it's Shane Douglas's fault. but Shane Douglas is maintaining, like, he's like, yeah, you know, I was in the ring with Billy and I killed him. And Jim Duggan, sensitive, supportive friend Jim Duggan, looks over his shoulder and goes, no, you didn't, Shane. It was his fault. He didn't tuck his head. It wasn't on you, buddy. Like, you know, poor Jim Duggan supporting his friends all the way to the end.
He really did. Trifling ass, cheating ass Jim Duggan. But supportive friend.
Supportive friend. USA, buddy, USA. So they kind of sorted out. For some reason, everybody knows that they're coming after Shane Douglas. I guess because the bad guy revealed that he had killed Shane Douglas' family and turned them into zombies.
They're not dead. So Shane Douglas' family is not dead yet. They're just being held alive. Some of them.
No, they're zombies at that point.
Well, there's one lady who gets turned into a zombie later, who I was pretty sure was one of Shane Douglas's relatives.
It's not. It's not, because we see all of his relatives later, and she is not among them. I have no idea who that was.
It was just some lady, I guess. Okay.
I think that might have been someone who backed the Kickstarter.
Possibly. Anyway, everybody knows it's Shane Douglas's fault. They realize that they can't hold out in a chapel for much longer. So the one young guy who tried to gorilla press that one zombie is like, no, man, I'll hold him off. We just got to get out of here. Sarah – oh, this is also the part where, like, people are freaking out. And Sarah goes – somebody says, like, who's this? Who's this lady? And Sarah goes, this is the bitch that's going to save your life.
And then she does, like, a drop toe hold on Shane Douglas and, like, puts her foot on his chest. And also produces a machete. Like, yeah. They start finding weapons in the chapel of this prison. There's a machete. There's a baseball bat. Jim Duggan's already got his 2x4, so he's good. But it's really weird.
The only person who doesn't get a weapon is Roddy Piper.
Like, doesn't need it.
He's barehanding throughout the whole movie. So they find this little alcove that they can jump through to get out of there. So almost everybody jumps out of the room. Somehow Matt Hardy gets, like, caught up in it and gets stuck in another room. And there's a whole scene where Matt Hardy is fighting a bunch of zombies in this, like, what looks like the dining hall of the prison. And he's doing, like, aerial shit. Like, it's like a TLC match. In a scene with zombies. Like, he's jumping off the walls. He power bombs one through a table. He's hitting
There's a lot of cookie sheets laying around this prison that make a nice noise when you bash somebody in the head with them.
Yeah, he's hitting him with cookie sheets. But they end up getting him in the end. Like, Matt Hardy ends up dying. There's a scene where Rebby Sky has to, like, say, like, no, Matt, no. But she pulls him into the room where everybody else is. He ends up getting, like, split in half as the door's closing. And she's, like, crying over him. He leans up and bites her, too. So Jim Duggan steps in with his 2x4 and just bashes both of their heads in.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Jim Duggan is not going to fuck around with two lover zombies.
As the movie goes on, it becomes kind of a recurring thing where Shane Douglas is, like, slowly betraying everyone. Like, he... the young flippy guy, like, gets, you know... Shane Douglas, like, locks him out, like, locks a door behind him with the flippy guy behind him, and then turns around and goes, "Jobbers die, not main eventers," and, like, leaves him to the zombies. And there's also a part with Jim Duggan where they're running together. They've been separated from everybody else. They're together, and Shane Douglas goes, "Hey, man, I just want you to know, in case it's our last chance, I really appreciate, you know, I'll never forget what you did for me 30 years ago." Which is a weird, obscure reference, I guess. I don't know
what he's Jim talking Duggan about
did for Shane Douglas 30 years ago.
We are huge wrestling fans, and there are a number of jokes in this movie or references to things that went way over my head. Like, I do not know how Jim Duggan helped Shane Douglas 30 years ago.
Yeah, and then Jim Duggan's response is like, yeah, well, if anything happens to me, you tell Donna, you tell my wife. And then Shane Douglas immediately betrays Jim Duggan and leaves him to be torn apart by zombies. Yes. And then rejoins the rest of the cast.
There's also a part right in here where Piper and Sarah regroup with the penthouse pet and another lady who just showed up.
Yeah, we have no idea where she came from.
She was not a character up to this point. She's just in the prison for no good reason. And she's not even there to die. I don't even remember when she died.
I do not either. Like, she's like Roddy Piper's shirt. She changes, disappears.
We'll do a whole thing on Roddy Piper's shirt here in a little bit. But
the penthouse pet is also left to die by Shane Douglas after they have an argument about Shane killing Billy.
Yes.
He, like, throws her to the zombies as well. So, like, Shane Douglas, for being a guy who is involved in this from the beginning, right? Like, he is one of the guys making the movie, starring in it, the driving force of the plot. He comes off terribly in this. He comes off as a really awful guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's playing a chicken shit heel, right? Like, he's a chicken shit heel throughout the movie.
Which is weird, because a zombie movie doesn't really require a heel, because the zombies are the heels.
But I also feel like, if you're going to have a movie where wrestlers play themselves, or, you know, wrestlers are portraying wrestlers, the easiest way to, like, explain their characters to them is in wrestling terms, right? Like, oh, okay, Roddy, you're the babyface of the movie. You're the babyface who's going to, like, have a big comeback at the end and win the match through perseverance, right? You're going to fight through the pain. Shane, you're the chicken shit heel. And boom, they've got their characters, right? Like,
yeah. Which is exactly what Douglas does. I mean, there's a part where he is confronted by an entire horde of zombies and goes, "You think you can take on a franchise? Well, bring it the fuck on," and then immediately turns around and runs away.
So the thing where Piper regroups with the women, there's a part where they're running from a group of zombies, and Piper decides, "Hey, I'm going to hold them off. You guys keep going." He runs into a kitchen area, and he fights off a bunch of the zombies. This is a part where he hits one of the zombies with a coconut, and he ends up shoving one of the zombies. The wrestler whose entire gimmick is that he looks kind of like Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, dyed hair like Dennis Rodman. And you said he actually...
I believe, Tom Rodman.
Yeah. And you said he actually looked like Zach from Dead or Alive.
Yes, much closer to Zach.
But he, like, shuts the freezer door on the zombie. And he goes, "Hey, why don't you fucking cool off for a second?" And he just grabs a pencil off of a clipboard, and he jams the pencil into the door of the freezer to keep the zombie in there. And there's this moment where Roddy Piper, like, slumps down because he's tired, and he goes, That's the first time in my career I've ever gotten the pencil. We both had no idea what he meant by that. I think that was a booking joke, but I am really not super sure.
I have no idea.
Okay, so throughout the rest of this, Jim Duggan is made into a zombie. There's a scene where Roddy Piper gives the most intense, pathos-dripping performance because he has to kill his best friend, Jim Duggan, who is now a zombie. It's an amazingly acted scene.
Yes. He goes into this room, like his little side room, and there's like zombie Jim Duggan there, like eating a hand. And, you know, like Piper is obviously the focus of the scene. Jim Duggan as a like pathetic, scared animal kind of zombie is like really like he sells it. Like it comes across really well. Like he's pathetic. He's sad. He's pitiful. And then like that Roddy like slowly just picks up the 2x4 and just walks over and then just like brings it down real fast. And it's like, it's a genuinely good scene.
I feel like Jim Duggan has found his ideal role in that moment of the movie.
So maybe so. Maybe so.
Okay. So Shane Douglas has run off. He's thrown the penthouse pet to the wolves. And pretty much by this point, all that's left are Piper, Sarah, and Shane Douglas, the French fries, has run off to somewhere. There's a scene where Piper and Sarah are like sitting, looking down into a big room in the prison. And this is where we see the zombie leader guy make a new zombie by cutting into her stomach and pulling out her still beating heart. And I sincerely thought that she was one of Shane Douglas's family members, because there's this whole thing about like he can't pull up her shirt all the way, or he can't pull down her shirt, so he has to stab her in the stomach to pull out her heart. Maybe you're right. Maybe she was a Kickstarter backer.
She might have been a member of Shane Douglas's family from earlier in the movie, but I'm pretty sure they are all accounted for later, and she is not one of them.
So anyway, there's no real reason for that scene to be in there. It's just for this lady to get turned into a zombie. Almost immediately, the action of the movie goes outside. Somehow everybody gets outside of the prison. And we were sitting here asking, how did they get outside? Because it's established as soon as Kurt Angle arrives that all the doors are locked. Like, as soon as they got in the building, all the doors locked. So, how did they get outside? I don't even remember seeing them run through a door.
But yeah, no, they... It's just, hey, we're outside now.
Yeah, so it's like Sarah and Piper are outside. They're being chased by this huge horde of zombies. They fight off the zombies for a while. But, you know, things take a turn. And they end up kind of going down. Like, Piper tries valiantly to fight all the zombies off, but he gets knocked out. By the way, I should mention here that while they're outside, the place that they decide to run to is a hill with a giant American flag flying on a flagpole. So this is, like, where the end game of the movie is happening. By a giant American flag.
Which I hope you are ready for some truly amazing imagery by the end of this movie.
There's this great shot of Piper looking up at the flag, kind of like reverently looking at it, despite him being actually Canadian and him portraying a Scotsman through his entire wrestling career. Piper ends up going down to the zombies. So Sarah tries to fight them off with her machete for a while and does a pretty good job of it. Like, she's a tough lady, but they end up kind of overrunning her too. Eventually,
she kills the younger wrestlers, like the flippy guy and the video game guy. And they do not do a good job of establishing their gimmicks, but over the course of the movie, it becomes kind of a thing where he is like the guy who tore the zombie in half with a military press. He's meant to be like a video game obsessed guy who thinks of everything as a video game. Like, he's like, when the zombies start attacking, he starts laughing because he thinks it's so fun that it's just like a zombie apocalypse game. But none of it's ever really established, and all of it is established very poorly, because there is a scene where when he gets killed, he's like, oh no, I hope I reboot, which is not video game terms. That's I
think what he meant was respawn, right?
Yes.
But he's saying reboot.
And then when Sarah kills him with the machete, she's like, she calls him Mountain, which I guess is his name. She goes, sorry, Mountain, end game. And it's like, do you mean game over the way that human beings would say that?
Or a video game screen.
Yes. End game.
So she ends up getting, like, kind of overrun by zombies. Piper gets up and is starting to try to save her. But a zombie runs up to him and starts doing wrestling punches on him.
Yes.
The zombie doesn't start doing, like, you know, zombie shit, trying to bite him. He's doing wrestling punches on Roddy Piper while Sarah is, like, calling out for him to help her. Eventually, he deals with that zombie. They kind of run the other zombies off. And here comes Shane Douglas, the French fries. And he's, like, running up the path, going to the American flag. He ends up getting confronted by the leader of the zombie people. And this is where the leader of the zombie people presents to Shane Douglas his entire family having been turned into zombies. Brother's been turned into a zombie. He has to tragically kill his brother, his zombie brother. And then here comes his 10-year-old nephew walking up as a zombie. And Shane Douglas tries so hard to emote. Like, as good of an actor as Roddy Piper is, Shane Douglas is struggling, you know? Like, he's trying. He's trying to emote about his nephew. Roddy Piper comes walking up, and he's just like, that kid's a zombie. And he's about to, like, smash the kid's head or whatever. And Shane Douglas is like, no, no, you can't do it. And so Shane Douglas is, like, holding on to the kid, and Shane Douglas is then, like, tragically killed by zombies. This is where things go way out of hand and get really confusing. Okay, first of all, I don't know how this sequence was filmed, but constantly throughout this end sequence, Roddy Piper's shirt keeps going from blue to white. Like, there's one part very early on when he's first being attacked by a bunch of zombies where his shirt is no longer blue. It's been blue through the entire movie, but then suddenly it's white. Then maybe like 5 minutes later, after the part where he saves Sarah, he takes off his blue shirt and wipes off some blood off of his face. And he's wearing a white shirt under that. But it keeps switching back and forth from white to blue throughout this entire part. So it feels like it was filmed way out of order and way out of sequence and then just slapped together in editing somehow. Because somewhere after the Shane Douglas thing, there's a moment where one of the zombies, I think it's one of the members of Shane Douglas's family, it might be Shane Douglas's mom, is getting hurt, and we see this weird shot of Battling Billy on fire, like hurting certain zombies hurts him, or hurts like the source of all the zombies. So there's this moment where it's like Sarah's like, it's hurting him. It's hurting him. We have to get the main zombies. So they attack Shane Douglas's mom, and then the original nurse zombie shows up, and they start hurting her. There's a pretty fantastic moment where Sarah, who gets bitten by original nurse zombie, does a pile driver on her and kills her. And that is apparently the end of all the zombies. Like, it's confusing as hell, but it's great that she does a pile driver on her.
Yes, that part's great.
So then, even though she's been bitten, she doesn't turn into a zombie for reasons that don't make very much sense. And we just get a couple of closing shots where Sarah is hugging Roddy Piper, and then they kiss in front of the giant waving American flag.
Yes, that is awesome.
And it's the end of the movie. And there's no, like, stinger where she turns into a zombie or anything. It's just waving American flag. End of movie. Okay, I feel like we've established the high point of the movie. And it's
yeah,
Roddy fucking Piper.
Amazing. Like, and look, we are, there is no way we would say a bad thing about Roddy Piper right now. Like, Roddy is, like, not only someone that we already liked, not only someone that we already respected, but he is relatively recently deceased. But even taking all that into account, he's really good in this movie. Like, he's intense. He's scary when he's supposed to be scary. He's a believable tough guy in the movie. And, like, the scene, like, I cannot express how genuinely affecting the scene where he has to kill Jim Duncan is.
There are two different moments where he spits on people in this movie, and they are both fantastic.
Yes, yes.
He spits on the penthouse pet after she throws her water on Sarah. And then I think he spits on, like, the main zombie leader guy. And they're both wonderful. Like, I don't care. If Roddy Piper was still alive today, if he was still having weird feuds with Steve Austin about an impression of Steve Austin on his podcast, if he was still, like, appearing in shitty movies, I would watch, like, I would still say exactly the same things about Roddy Piper that I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
Roddy Piper, with the exception of They Live, Roddy Piper never got a role up to the level of his talent. Roddy Piper might be the only really, like, wrestler who was a really, really good actor. Like, Dwayne Johnson is probably there too. It took him a while, but I think he got there. Roddy Piper just had so much natural talent, and nobody took advantage of it. And that is a fucking tragedy.
Well, I mean, except Vince McMahon.
Well, yeah, and I guess WCW for a few months.
Yeah, let me tell you, like, if you have the network and you have not watched, I think it's Super Brawl 7, whichever one is the one where Roddy Piper, in the week before, like, the gimmick was that he was going to lock himself in Alcatraz to drive himself crazy before he wrestled Hulk Hogan. The opening of Super Brawl 7 is Roddy Piper getting out of Alcatraz and then getting on a boat and standing on the bow as it sails toward the mainland, like, looking like a wild man, like he's going to go murder Hulk Hogan. It's great. I love Roddy Piper. I love him.
Roddy Piper is the sole reason I watched Legends House.
Yeah.
Because he is such an interesting guy to me. Was and is. Like, Roddy Piper was my favorite wrestler when I was a kid in WWF. Like, I watched for Roddy Piper because he entertained the hell out of me. Maybe the only other people who really took advantage of his talents were that one episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia he was in, which is
where he's so hilarious.
Good. He's so good. What are some other high points of the movie? I think the fight choreography is pretty good. Like, the fact that there were wrestling moves being done on the zombies.
It could have had more. I feel like there could have been more wrestling moves. But of the multiple wrestling, or multiple films I've seen that are about wrestlers versus supernatural characters, I feel like this is by far the one that delivered on that with the most promise. The military press tearing a zombie in half, and the ankle lock ripping a zombie's leg off, those are great gags, and they're exactly the kind of gags that you want to see in this movie.
This is also a brand of zombie that is apparently incapacitated by a sleeper hold, which is great.
But you want, like, there could have been a lot more of that. And I feel like if this movie had a bigger budget, there would have been. But, like, you want to see a zombie get its head clotheslined off, right? Like, you want to see you want to see a zombie's head get taken off with a super kick or any of that stuff. And what we do see here is really fun.
Yeah, I mean, the Matt Hardy, like, there's a part where Matt Hardy, like, grabs a chain off a door and wraps it around his fist. And then he, like, jumps off of a high platform and punches a zombie in the head. Like, that's great.
He does a fist drop.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right, I think we've done the high points. What are the low points of...
Remember how I said that everything in this movie was improv? That's not always a good thing.
Aside from Roddy Piper, there is not much good acting going on here. Shane Douglas tries... He really tries, but he is kind of in the deep end of the pool throughout the movie.
he's not bad, because he really does come off as, like you said, he comes off as the chicken shit heel. He comes off as a really bad guy. All of his scenes where he has to interact with other people are so forced.
Yeah, and it's particularly bad when he's, like, trying to fight his zombie brother. And he's telling his zombie brother, "Don't make me do it, man! Don't make me do it!" And it's just, it feels like he's acting, right? It doesn't feel like a real emotion. Especially when he's right next to Roddy Piper, who makes everything seem real. Like, everything is 100% emotionally accurate with Roddy Piper. With Shane Douglas, it just does not work. I think we've also got to talk about the production values. You made the remark that it sounded like, or it looked like this movie was shot on an iPhone. It also looks like all the sound was, or sounds like all the sound was recorded on an iPhone. Everything is ADR'd. The sound effects are weirdly selective, where, like, some things will have sound effects and others won't, even in the middle of the same scene. Like, there will be a scene where Sarah is flinging around the machete and trying to slice up zombies. Sometimes it'll make a machete sound, and sometimes it won't. Like, here's another example of the production values being pretty bad. The logo at the beginning of the movie is pixelated.
Yes, it is. There's no lighting in this. It's lit like WCW and not like WWF, which is a big problem. Like, a lot of, like you said, like, the sound is noticeably bad. Like, the music gets too loud. There's sound effects sometimes, and sound effects that aren't there sometimes. Just, like, production-wise, it's bad. It's generally not very well shot, and a lot of the action takes place in shadow, which is a bummer. Because, again, yeah, like, that Kurt Angle fight scene would be really fun. It would be a lot more fun if there were lights on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun as it is. Like, the Matt Hardy fight scene, the Kurt Angle fight scene, they're fun as they are. Like, the stunts themselves kind of sell it. But yes, it would be better if they were lit at all. I think we also need to say one more time just how crummy the soundtrack to the movie is. It's just
really bad.
Really bad, like, grungy metal that's super generic and feels like it's just one step away from Christian rock. All right, let's give our final thoughts about pro wrestlers versus zombies.
It's better than I thought it was going to be, but it's definitely not as good as I wanted it to be.
I'm for a movie that only has 2 stars and a 3.8 rating on IMDb, I enjoyed it so much more than these ratings led me to believe I would. Like, I don't know what people going into a movie called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies would have been expecting. Like, for better or worse, this movie delivered what I was expecting. It lived up to my expectations.
It definitely could have been better, I think. Like, there are small adjustments, like, say, doing a second take sometimes. Maybe, you know, cutting out a little unnecessary dialogue, adding a little more pro wrestler versus zombie action. That could have made it better. Like, not having characters show up in the middle and then leave unannounced. The biggest flaw, and I think the biggest thing to recommend it, actually, is that it feels like a fan film.
Yeah,
it feels like somebody got Roddy Piper for their fan film.
Yeah, we said this as we were watching it. I was like, this movie is shot and has the feel of a fan film. And you just said, it is a fan film.
Yes.
And that's kind of right. Like, despite the fact that it is on Amazon Prime as a movie that you can watch, it is basically a fan film.
Yes. Now, Matt, you know about all the wrestlers that are in this movie. We saw Roddy Piper, we saw Matt Hardy, we saw Remy Sky and Kurt Angle.
The French Fries.
But French Fries, Shane Douglas. But originally, that was not supposed to be the cast, at least not all of it. According to the Kickstarter page, and I want to know if you think this would have made the movie better or worse, the major cast members who have signed letters of intent at the start of the Kickstarter campaign from 2012... were Shane Douglas, Taya Parker, the 2009 Penthouse Pet of the Year, Rowdy Roddy Piper had expressed interest. It was also supposed to involve Larry Zbysko, the living legend.
Oh, that he would have been. He would have made it 20 times worse, because you know there would have been a scene where Larry Zbysko just stood around and talked, and repeated himself and talked about the new world odor. Larry Zbysko was the worst announcer, and like it would have just been Larry Zbysko bloviating for 5 minutes of screen time. So I'm glad he dropped out.
Okay. Raven?
That might have been good.
There is a Asylum Films ripoff of Death Race, the Jason Statham remake of Death Race 2000, that stars the Insane Clown Posse and Raven, that is probably the best Asylum Films movie. And here's the third one, Matt. Here's the third one, who was meant to be in the film, and I think would have made it amazing. Terry Funk.
Oh my god. Now I'm so disappointed in this movie, because Terry Funk wasn't in it.
I think there's zombies in that prison.
That sounds more like Paul Bearer.
Okay, you're right. My Terry Funk is not great. Funk, star of Roadhouse.
We gotta get Jim Ross in here to do a Terry Funk impression. But yeah, Terry Funk would have made it amazing. Because you know there would have been some barbed wire shit if Terry Funk had been involved. It would have been amazing. I should have said this in the high points. One other thing that made this movie pretty good was the actress who played Sarah. Like, having her and Roddy Piper as your leads in this movie, good choice.
Yes, like, they have a lot of on-screen chemistry. She's really fun, because when she first shows up, it's really hard to figure out what to make of her, because her character is not really well established. But when she just kind of randomly gets a machete and starts murdering zombies, she's really, really great. She's really enjoyable.
Yeah, she's super good. Like, I was happy that she ended up being the lead actress of the movie. So I want to say that it's her and Roddy Piper and wrestling moves that make this movie recommendable. It's not everything you want.
Would you recommend it?
Yes. It's not everything you want, but it's a fun time.
I don't know if I'd recommend it, because it is 83 minutes and feels like it's about 2 hours. But it's a certain kind of enjoyable, and I did laugh a lot watching it. And with that, I think we made it through another Spooktoberfest, Matt. We've made it through another Halloween.
We have. We survived. And as such, it's time for us to move on to November, which I'm just going to clue everybody in, is going to be another theme month here Movie Fighters. So get ready for that. Until then, everybody, thank you for listening. Our theme music is by Michael Kill. Our website was designed by Sean Bogus. If you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/warrocketajax and throw in some money for this show and our other podcast, War Rocket Ajax. We will have some Movie Fighters specific rewards up on the Patreon page very soon. Keep an eye out for those. November is going to be a special month where we're going to watch some special movies. We'll have more about that in the very near future. We'll see you soon, everybody. This has been a Clytus Media production.